We pray all this in the name of our Savior. Amen. So we land upon the last of the attributes as explained by Dr. Charnock in his book, Existence and Attributes of God. And one thing I was a bit surprised to discover was that very few other persons who write on the attributes of God include patience as one of the premier attributes of God. One of my go-to guys this week let me down and didn't mention patience at all in his understanding of or in his explanation of God's character. And it's kind of at that point of, well, why would patience be left off of a list of attributes? That's where A.W. Pink begins his quote that at the top of your handout. Far less has been written on the patience of God than on other excellencies of divine character. Not a few of those have expatiated at length upon the divine attributes, have passed over the patience of God without any comment. It is not easy to suggest a reason for this, for surely the long-suffering of God is as much one of the divine perfections as is his wisdom, power, or holiness. As much to be admired and revered by us. That might probably should be reverenced. True, the actual term will not be found in a concordance so frequently as others, but the glory of this grace shines on almost every page of Scripture. Certainly, we lose much if we do not frequently meditate upon the patience of God and earnestly pray that our hearts and ways may be more completely conformed thereto. So in a kind of a quick little exercise to get us thinking and mulling on this idea of patience, why do you think it is? Pink says it's hard to land on a reason why it's passed over. I don't know if it's super difficult, but why do you think patience is often left out of works on the attributes of God? What are some of your ideas? Why would patience be something that got passed over? Maybe they realized their book was long and they themselves ran out of patience. Kim? Oh, you didn't raise your hand. I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. Jane?
It's not big and cool and awe-inspiring.
All right, it's not big and cool. It's not flashy. It's not maybe as in, on the surface impressive as his omniscience. That might be. Patty?
Mm-hmm. Instead of that, he does do something. And so, I don't
know. No, I think you're correct. It's as we'll look at, patience isn't actually something that he acts upon man. It's something within himself. So there's something there, Chelsea.
I think we forget how patient he is with us.
It's true.
And I think that we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
we probably do forget how patient God is with us. Dottie?
You might call it something else, like long-suffering.
That's true. Yeah, there are synonyms for patience. And along that line, I think this is where some have passed it over. Think through the attributes of God, what God is like. What kind of bigger categories would you say, you know what, it's really hard to distinguish patience from... Well, so from kindness, mercy is the big one. What else? What mercy's sister attribute, grace.
Forbearance.
Yeah, goodness, forbearance. Mainly, we're going to see it in these three. You could express it out to others, but a lot of commentators will explain patience under broader categories of goodness or mercy tents to pick up a lot of them. So it's not that the theme isn't there. It's just not given its own chapter and given a lot of voice to it. But patience, I think Charnock rightly distinguishes it from these two. Mercy is in just a single sentence definition. How do we describe or define mercy? Long-suffering is also one of the words we use for patience. In fact, that's the Old Testament word, and we'll explain the word picture that long-suffering comes from. You're exactly right. But if you do a word search on patience, it won't get as many hits in the concordance as others. How would you define mercy? A single sentence.
Not getting what we deserve.
Not getting what we deserve. So there's a sense in which we do not get what is earned, and what is grace? Yeah. Receiving. What is, I don't know if it's a word exactly, unearned. With these, we see that there's transactions kind of between us and God, that in mercy, he forgives, he does not... we speak mainly of the wrath of God that we deserve. He does not give us what we deserve in that we deserve wrath. In grace, he gives us what we do not deserve, which is the righteousness of Christ, the status as sons and daughters, and that position with him. But patience is different from those. They're all unique and kind of tied together, as we've said. We don't want to be slicing and dicing the character of God into too neat of categories. But patience really has to do with the person of God and his restraining of himself with regards to punishing of sin. Look at the way that Charnock describes it there in the second quote I have on your page. God exercises his patience for the continuation of the church. If he be not patient towards sinners, what stock would there be for believers to spring up from? He bears with evil men because out of their loins he intends to extract others, which he will form for the glory of his grace. He has some unborn that belong to the election of grace. So if we just think in those terms, I think there are other aspects to patience, but if we just think in those terms, are we, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but are we recipients of God's patience in that regard? Yes. God has waited how many years from, let's just say, the cross, and been patient with much evil so that the gospel, so that we would come into a time where we were born and heard the gospel preached in our time. So God has been abundantly patient just for those of us in this room here this morning, that he has tarried so long. And imagine if his patience, and I know we'll speak of it in these kind of crude terms, but ran out before you reached that time in your life where the Spirit came and made you alive, or before you were born, or when you were very young. We could see God's grace is real, or his patience is really, we owe so much to his bearing with us and waiting patiently. The definition that Pink gives for patience says that power of control which God exercises over himself, causing him to bear with the wicked and forbear so long in punishing them. So Pink says this is an attribute exercised just within the person of God. We could say we receive his patience. It's more that we benefit from the fact that he is patient. And it's a control. It's a waiting. The Hebrew word is for long-suffering, or you'll see it in the Psalms, we'll read, slow to anger. And the word that this word in Hebrew is based off of technically is like the word for nostrils. And how are, in sense of anger, how are, is the nostrils a picture of anger? I know it kind of sounds odd this early in the morning, but what happens when someone gets angry? They flare their nostrils. Or you think of a horse when it's ready to go, it flares its nostrils, it snorts. When a person is patient, it kind of means it has the picture of their long-nosed. It doesn't mean that they have a long nose. It means that they don't flare their nostrils easily. They're not easily enraged. They're very slow to anger. And that's the word picture behind God's patience, is that he has cause to be angry, but he doesn't exercise it in those actions of taking out wrath. When we pray for patience, I think often we're asking God something different than asking him for patience. Are you patient when my sister right now is suffering on the sands of Hawaii and sent a picture where it's just blue skies and sun and warm, and they're like, is this December? Is this real? Really not helpful. Is that patience? Are they patient on the beach? Yeah. No, they're not. There's nothing aggravating them. And so often when we pray for patience, what we're asking is, God, remove the inconvenience. Remove this thing that bothers me. But that's not patience, is it? Patience requires what? An irritant, right? If things are going well, I don't sit back and think to myself, man, I am so patient this morning. Sipping my coffee, there's no noise, there's no inconveniences, there's no nothing like that. Patience only really exists in an environment where there's an irritant. And parents know what it's like to struggle with patience when your children are costing that peace in your life and you pray for patience. Often what we mean is, Lord, make this stop, rather than, Lord, give me the grace to endure patiently in the midst of traffic, or in the midst of a screaming child, or in the midst of whatever is accosting our comforts or accosting our peace. Well, God exists and endures with us in the midst of tremendous evil. The fact that he hasn't snuffed out humanity the moment we sinned is a testimony to his patience, and only to his patience. Let's look to the scriptures and see how they describe God's patience, his long-suffering, and his endurance, as one puts it, or as being slow to anger. Those are all synonyms for patience. Michael. That's an interesting question, and we will get to it. Yeah. Yes. Yes. There's a sense of waiting, of not giving what you could rightfully give at that moment. But yeah, there's definitely that aspect. Let's look to the scriptures I have marked for you. If I could get someone to read Psalm 103, 8 through 10.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chastise, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquity.
So Psalm 103 seems to indicate that there's a season of slow to anger, merciful, gracious. There are other places where it says he won't always wait. He won't always keep. There will be a day of wrath. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of vengeance. But today, well, I can't say it. Yesterday it wasn't that day. I guess I'm going to read Romans 15:5. So here's the sense. It uses the term endurance. It's really a synonym for patience. And it's used as a title of God. It's such an attribute that it rises up to a name by which he would call himself, a God of patience. Romans 9:20 through 23, if someone would read that.
Well, what does molded say to the molder? Why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel of honor and another for dishonor use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory and the vessels of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory?
So here, one of the key passages on God's patience speaks of his enduring, patient endurance, or patient waiting through vessels of wrath, or folks that will never be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is waiting. And what's the object that he's waiting for? What's the fruit of his waiting? To make known his riches. To show his power and to make known his riches toward vessels of mercy. This is distinguished from the vessels of wrath that he's prepared beforehand for glory. So there's this waiting. You can think of the things that God has, the evil that he has been patient with just to get to 2017. I guess we're almost to 2018, and even in this year he's endured a lot of wickedness in the world. Why? The Lamb is yet to receive the full reward of his sufferings.
May I inject a verse?
Sure.
In Romans 2:4, it says that you will escape the judgment of God, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?
Yeah, there the kind waiting of God is meant to not be perverted into a cause for license to sin.
Give us an opportunity to repent.
Yeah, he's waiting. He's graciously holding out his hand. He's graciously holding out the offer of the gospel to the world. And I mean, how many times do we see it on... Seeing on the TV sounds like an antiquated illustration. See it on the internet or YouTube or something. Atheistic folks or folks who don't fear God asking, well, if God is good and God is a just God, why hasn't he come and destroyed us yet? He's patient. He's very patient. He's not like man. We'll get to a quote on the back of the page where Charnock contrasts human impatience with God's patience. Exodus 34, 5 through 7, if someone could read that.
The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
So Exodus 34, one of the key passages in any discussion of the attributes of God, because it's, you remember, it's that time where God comes down and speaks to Moses and pronounces his covenantal name before him and explains or exposits his attributes. It's one of the clearest texts. If you want any text that tells you here's who God himself says he is in list form, well, Exodus 34 and following is going to be where you go. And one of the things he says is that he's slow to anger. It doesn't mean he doesn't punish. It doesn't mean that he will never bring forth wrath. No, he says he by no means clears the guilty. He'll visit iniquity. He'll do all this, but he is patient. And the reason, or one of the reasons why I put Exodus here next to Numbers is not only is this a marquee text for the attributes of God, but it comes back into play in Numbers 14. Remember the context of Numbers 14, Israel has sinned horrifically. God is speaking with Moses and essentially says, I can destroy these folks and we can start again. And Numbers 14, 17 through 18 is Moses' reply, and he references what he calls a promise, and he's referring to Exodus 34. It's a little faded, so I'll try to read it. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great, as you have promised, saying, so here Moses quotes the word of the Lord back, the Lord is slow to anger. What's the first attribute that Moses puts forward when God is angry with his people? Slow to anger. Abounding or abundant in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. He quotes back to God his profession in Exodus 34. And the first item that makes the first chapter that Moses quotes back on the attributes of God is, God, you promised you were patient. You promised that you endured. So if we think in terms of the categories of patience, let's think firstly of the patience that was exhibited in the garden. The garden was probably where we first, at least with God's dealings with humanity, see the patience of God. I haven't thought about it, someone might make an argument that he's patient with fallen demons and that they're not in the pit yet. I don't know. His dealings with them is in a different category than his dealing with us. But look at his promise in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So here's what the Lord told our first parents in the garden, the head of the human race, and his wife. He tells them, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely, in the day you do, die. Now, is there a sense in which that's the day where death entered into the world? Absolutely. But is there another sense where God would have been perfectly just and justified to strike them down the moment their teeth sunk into that? We'll just call it an apple because everyone pictures it as an apple. Could have been a pear. I don't know. Think of whatever fruit you don't like. Could God have been fully justified to do that? Sure. But he didn't. And I think that is an exercise of his patience. That his patience began, however long ago you think Genesis 2 was, his patience with the human race began that morning or evening, whenever it was, and has continued for all of these thousands of years and continues to us today. There's a sense where the fact that he allows a fallen, sin-stained, sin-cursed creation to continue to spin is a mark of his patience. I don't think I put it in your handout. There were lots of things that had to get cut to make this thing fit on one page. One of them was a quote from Charnock where he says, the fact that planets and solar systems still spin, though sin has tainted the creation, is a mark of his patience. He says, that's one of the reasons why, you all know the verse, his mercies are new each morning. Charnock says there's a sense in which when you see that sun rise again, as we did this morning, or you see you weren't awake when it rose, but you saw the effects of it rising. He says that you can say to yourself, again, God has been patient. Every single day that sun rises, you can say, again, God is patient. The first attribute we're reminded of in the morning, he is merciful. And he is patient. He is gracious. So every time you see the sun in the sky, every time you see the light of another day, you can say to yourself, again, your God is patient. God is patient. God is still at work. God is still drawing to himself men and women and children of every tribe, nation, and tongue to worship his son. S-O-N, not S-U-N. Number two, you see that he, and it's not entirely distinct from the first, it's a subset of the first. He's patient with vessels of wrath. He's patient with those who will never come and confess his name. 1 Peter 3:20, if someone could read that. So here, Peter's speaking of the patience of God, the waiting of God, and he's referring to the historical account of the flood, where the Lord commissioned Noah to build an ark, and you remember the length of time it took to build the ark? 120, if my memory serves me right. 120 years, God was patient with an entire world of people, minus eight. He saved eight persons and was patient with the rest. Says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That Noah, no doubt, was warning the people that he lived among to abandon folly and to embrace God. And they didn't. So he preached for 120 years without any converts. That's patience on Noah's behalf. That's endurance. And God was patient with that entire generation or those generations of people who he knew would drown in the flood. Charnock says, admire and stand astonished at God's patience. And bless him for it. If you should have defiled your neighbor's bed or sullied his reputation or rifled his goods, would he have withheld his vengeance unless he'd been too weak to execute it? The answer is no, he wouldn't have. If you do that to your neighbor, he will come after you. We have done worse to God than we can do to man. And yet, he draws not that sword of wrath out of the scabbard of his patience to sheathe it in our hearts. It is not so much a wonder that any judgments are sent as that there are no more and no sharper. That the world shall be fired or end in fire at the last is not a thing so strange, as that fire does not come down every day upon some part of it. Do you see what the pictures that Charnock is showing here? The fact that God leaves the sword of his wrath sheathed in the sheath of his patience should astound us. Because we, or humanity, let's just say, does, in defiance and attack on him, more than we can do towards each other. When we sin against another sinner, it's sinner on sinner type of violence. When we sin against God, it is against a perfect and a holy God, an infinite offense against an infinitely holy God. And Charnock says it shouldn't amaze us. There are times where he does come and judge. There are the Sodom and Gomorrah stories where he does rain down fire and sulfur and wipe them off the face of the earth. That did happen. That shouldn't astound us. What should astound us is that that's not a daily headline in the news. That every day you don't wake up and read, Las Vegas, wiped off in fire. Los Angeles, wiped off in fire. Seattle, wiped off in fire. He says that should be. That's what we deserve. That's what humanity deserves. And only patience and great patience keeps the sword of his wrath sheathed until the day where he will draw it forth. What are your thoughts on that that quote from Charnock? I thought it was one of, if not the best in the book. But what are your thoughts with God's enduring patience towards a fallen world that will not repent? Travis.
One thing I wanted to say was I've been in various prayer meetings for the persecuted church.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really difficult to see why God is so patient with a lot of these persecutors of the church in countries around the world.
Mm.
You know, why does he continue to let them keep doing what they're doing?
Mm. The only answer that we have that I think Scripture gives us is he's being patient with regards to offering his gospel to those in those countries or to those persons themselves. Imagine, and again, we don't see it as often as we would like, but imagine if a certain persecutor of the church God snuffed out in the midst of his persecution. We wouldn't have Romans.
See what he says to me, and I will answer concerning my complaints. So Habakkuk's complaining to God about the very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't God reap justice on those who deserve it?
Sure.
And the Lord answered me, and he said, write a vision, make it plain on tablets that, so he may run with it, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, but it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come and not delay.
Yeah, it's God's time, our time are different. But I understand Habakkuk's sentiments. I understand what you're saying, Travis. It's, you wonder, God, why do you put up with nations that systematically exterminate your people? It doesn't make sense. Roger. Absolutely. But he's doing so that all, and I would interpret the all there to be driven by the context. If you follow the pronouns up, the all are all his people, all his own. All of his own will come to him. All his own will come to repentance. That's not disputable. The Lamb will have the full reward of all of his sufferings. Every chosen man, woman, and child will come to Christ. Not a single one. And so I suppose there will come a time where theoretically there's one elect person yet regenerated by the Spirit. And God will hold his patience till they are brought to him. That is immeasurable patience. And then to get to the question that Pastor Kelly asked at the beginning, is God patient towards us? Does God ever speak of his patience with us? Now, why would we have to ask that question? Or I guess you can explain, why did you ask that question?
Well, because if you're saying that it's God withholding his wrath for a time,
mm-hmm. So in a sense, when he looks at us, it's not as though and by the us we mean those who've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. Our sins were laid on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So the double imputation of our sins were imputed to him, his righteousness imputed to us. When he looks at us, he doesn't see a filthy wretch. When he looks at us, he sees a perfect son, a perfect daughter. So can we understand his patience before? And again, we don't want to get too far down the deep end of the pool, but before regeneration, when the Spirit makes you alive, and in the Spirit's regeneration, He unites you to the saving benefits of Christ. Before that, where when Paul would call us children of wrath, sons of disobedience, was God patient with us then? Absolutely, without doubt. Is there a sense in which He's patient with us this side of the cross, this side of salvation, in our current state? What do you think?
Absolutely. It's the point of us growing in sanctification. The part of His overall plan is to allow us to be part and parcel of His plan to save those whom He has foreseen to be elect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you would say that even though our sins are covered and paid for, the sanctification process where He is systematically, slowly over time, shaping us more into the likeness of His Son, we're not that Son yet, and yes, we won't receive wrath for that, but we've all sinned this morning. Now, is that sin paid for? Yes. But is God enduring with us? Mark would say yes. Any other thoughts? Chelsea, I thought I saw your hand.
Yeah, I pretty much the same thing, that He's patient in our growth. And I think how many times have I had to repent for the same exact thing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I sin against my brother in church, he's not going to move me from the church.
Depends on the brother, but no, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. Just teasing. Sure.
He doesn't, you know, take it all away from us.
Mm-hmm.
On the street usually. And like,
yeah.
You know. But, and I think so often, gosh, you know, I have to repent for the same exact thing and all the time. Like anger, I lose my temper.
Sure.
You know, it's like he's so patient with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how God in the Bible, how those who finished well, you watch their life and their progression, and how God was patient with them and patient with them. And they finished well, like Abraham, you know, or Daniel, or you see the progression towards their growth.
Yeah.
It's our motivation.
Absolutely. The two verses I have down under this section, Romans 2, we've already read Romans 2. It's meant to lead us. I don't think that fully answers the question, but look at 1 Timothy 1:16. And again, I don't think it fully answers, but this is the verse that came to my mind when I thought of God's patience with us. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the foremost, he's speaking of the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So even there, we see him saying he was patient with me and brought me into eternal life. Eternal life dawns when the saint is made new by the Spirit at regeneration. That's when the eternal life begins. We don't know death in its real sense from that moment onward. So in a, I would argue a yes and a no on this question, kind of a straddle the fence sort of a thing, and it sends you away with something to think about. In the most technical sense, God is patient with us to bring us to salvation where we're forgiven and our sins are wiped away. So we receive his patience there. I would say in a slightly less technical sense, he still is patient in dealing with us in the midst of our sin, even this side of the cross. Is it withholding of wrath? No, the wrath has been emptied. But there's still, at least as we experience it, God is kind and patient and long-suffering with us? I believe so. I believe when he spoke those words to Moses on the mountain, he was speaking with one of his children. He was speaking with someone who believed in him, and he defines and describes himself as patient there. So not in its full technical sense, but in a slightly different sense, if that's not super confusing. Sorry, Betty. Any final questions on that before we close in prayer? Patty.
I just found out Kathy
complete, mm-hmm. or to be killed as they themselves have been.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a progress to his.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 That's where I think the verse. I think it was you who read it from Romans 2. His patience shouldn't lead us to lazy living. His patience should lead us to repentance and gratefulness and gratitude and awe that He still endures with us. He is so long-suffering and patient with us. He's so long-suffering and patient with the world. It's one of the attributes that we don't think, and actually I'll leave you with this. I was meant to ask it earlier. On the front page, if you just want to star it and think on it later, it's the top quote from Pink, it's the last sentence. Certainly we lose much if we do not frequently meditate upon the patience of God and earnestly pray that our hearts and ways may be more completely conformed unto. So take some time today, after church, and ask yourself the question, what do we lose by our neglect of meditating on the patience of God? Mark was already beginning to answer that question in that it can make us sloppy in our lives. It can lower our view of sin or think that He'll never come and judge. But I think there's more implications to that question. So think on that question and ask yourself, what do we lose by our infrequent thoughts of God's patience. Let's pray and then we'll head upstairs. Our God, our Father, we thank You that You are patient with us. Thank You for Your patience that endured so much that we would not only see the light of the day of our birth, but that we saw the light of the day of our new birth. Thank You that You are patient still. Thank You that Your sword of wrath remains sheathed. And Lord, when we consider Your patience and we rejoice that You have saved us and been patient with us and are patient with us, Lord, I can't help but think of our children. We ask You to be patient, Lord, and to bring them to a knowledge of Christ. We think of our city, so, so lost. We pray that Your patience would lead them to repentance. We pray in tandem with that request, O God, that Your kingdom would come, that You would make all things right, that You would restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Lord, we pray both, knowing that You will do what is all wise in a perfect conformity with Your name and Your glory. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.